When I was a little kid, my family visited my grandparents in New Mexico each year over spring break. Somehow, my birthday always seemed to fall over that week, and I felt like the luckiest kid in the world. When I woke up early and excited on my birthday, my Grandma Jan was always up waiting for me in complete makeup, wearing a bright, overly floral perfume, with her hair in her signature blonde white beehive bun. She wears it to this day like that. I was convinced she always looked like this, and that seemed like magic to me. We made the same chocolate cake together each year for my birthday before anyone else was up. She'd written up the recipe using a typewriter on a little note card. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Grease a bundt pan. She always used lard for this. And coat with a dusting of flour. Sift together dry ingredients. 2 cups sugar, 1¾ cup dust of flour, 3/4 cup cocoa, etc. In another large bowl, mix together wet ingredients. 2 eggs, 1 cup milk, 1/2 cup vegetable oil, etc. Slowly mix the dry ingredients into the wet ingredients. And here's the tricky part. When complete, add 1 cup of boiling water and stir carefully. It was this last step that was the measure of my growing up. When I was old enough to pour and stir in the boiling water by my own self. Then I was officially grown. I still make this cake every year on my birthday, and I make it for 1 or 2 beloveds each year who ask for it, thinking it is some kind of mysterious grandma cake because it's so good. But this is the thing. It's not a secret recipe. It's one of the most public and famous cake recipes in the country. It doesn't just live on my grandma's recipe card, but on the back of the Hershey's cocoa box. This is the archetypal story of food in my family. We have cherished food rituals like this. But like most families who have assimilated over generations into whiteness, they aren't our own. There was a myth for a period of time in our country that corporate giants could make more nourishing, healthy food than anything that came from traditions going back to the places and people we came from. Think white bread and canned foods. It was a kind of erasure. It was an erasure of all the places we came from if we weren't indigenous to this land. And it was highly successful. Most of us now know a lot about this kind of comfort food. But we don't actually know how to nourish ourselves with food or rituals for the spirit. To nourish means to grow. My birthday cake is and was a balm, a memory map, a sweetness beyond sweetness on so many levels, but it's not growing food. This stewardship season, we are calling on you to come to the table, come as you are, to be nourished and to nourish in return. That's what the fancy little pamphlet that arrived in your mailboxes this week had to say. But what does it really mean for you to be nourished? And what does it really mean to nourish in return? I spoke to a friend of mine who's a nutritionist about this from her professional perspective. She said the most important ingredient to real nourishment is eating whole foods. Whole foods are foods that change very little from the time they are harvested to the time when we eat them. Fruit, vegetables, legumes, meat, whole fat dairy, whole grains, etc. These are the foods that fill us up and actually keep us full. Unlike highly processed food, they aren't designed to keep us eating, to keep us wanting more, but to satiate us. Also, to make a full meal of them, you can't just open a box. They require attention. They require preparation. I imagine spiritual nourishment the same way. The ingredients are what make and keep us full and whole and growing. Growing our connection with the divine in ourselves and beyond. Based on our own experiences and spiritual topography, the ingredients will be different. Based on our own particular privileges and realities of oppression, the amounts of the different ingredients will change. But these are not pre-made, consumer-friendly spiritual care products. You cannot buy connection with the divine. Spiritual nourishment requires discernment, attention, and time from each of us. For myself, I know a healthy plate of spiritual nourishment, of reconnection with God, needs to include a portion of alone time, because it's the only way I know I will find my way towards gratitude and remembering my way to a God bigger than the moment. I need a portion of exercise to move all the energies of the universe through me, and because endorphins are real. A portion of quality time with my dearest beloveds that is only about reconnection and not about productivity of any kind. I need rest, real and regular. And I need discomfort to feel my brokenheartedness and the injustices of the world and find my way towards some kind of response. The worst things in the world will happen day after day, says Adrienne Marie Brown. I survive by putting my attention on what nourishes me and my loves. I hear that quote as a kind of modern translation of our psalm for today. The ancient Israelites had already and would continue to live through the worst things in the world day after day. They too were just trying to survive by putting their attention on what nourished them and their beloveds. The most traditional language we have for that which is the source of our nourishment is God. And the most traditional language we have for paying attention to that source is the practice of praise. Oh, sing to you a new song, for you have done marvelous things. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. The world and those who live in it, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of God. What does it take to leaven our lives till they rise in praise, as our call to worship asks? What are the ingredients in your recipe, your personal recipe of spiritual nourishment? This is not a rhetorical question. In your bulletin, you will find an index card, not unlike the recipe card my Grandma Jan once gave me, minus the splattered cake batter. If you don't have a pen or another writing implement for doodles or writing, Rebecca will help you get one. Please just raise your hand.
Do
invite you now to take a moment, a couple of minutes actually, to just sit in prayer and write down not your recipe for comfort, though I know that is often the first place we need to go, but for nourishment, for reconnection with the divine in yourself and the world. What needs to be in your recipe or on your proverbial plate? Recipes have a habit of changing over time as we make them over and over again. Feel free to add to your card over time. Put it someplace you won't lose it if this was meaningful to you. Because only when you know how to nourish yourself can you actually nourish anybody else, this community or the world, in a way that is sustainable. Come to the table. Come as you are, to be nourished and to nourish in return. May it be so.